Hi, guys. Welcome back to another episode of the Authentic Faith Podcast.
Welcome to today's episode of the Authentic Faith Podcast. My name is Brad Lawson. And today I'm hosting. I took this honor today because I'm hosting so that I can release the pressure from my co-host Mariah, because today we want a lot of what's in her out on the content, okay? So I'm here today with Mariah McLeod.
Hi.
One of the most amazing people I know. So powerful, gifted worship leader. Just on fire, dynamic leader. She affects every environment she enters for good. I mean, there's just so much that pours out of her on a regular basis. So I'm here with her. And I'm also here with Clover Sexton, the most amazing admin, executive, assistant.
Executive.
I have ever known. And she and they are coming today not as gifted ministry leaders. Not even as, like, Southern California ladies. They're coming today as single ladies.
This is true, though.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. Clover was having to do breathing exercises because she's dealing with the anxiety of this podcast.
It's true.
I don't know personally if I've ever been more stoked about a podcast than I have been about this one right now today with the two of you. So welcome to the dating podcast, everybody.
Yeah, this is the dating podcast. Our episode on dating. Singleness and all that.
Yeah. Are you ready for this, Clover?
I am so ready.
She's like, get it over with.
What's so funny is it's not taboo. It's not weird. It's life. It's a season. That's not a stampede of animals in our building. Those are my children now. It's summer and we're out of school, so they're coming to hang with us in the offices. Yeah. So what's interesting about this conversation is it's not a weird conversation. You just have to own it. You have to own your moment. Like, we are where we are. We're single people. You know? And that's exciting. There's a lot of adventure in that. There's a lot of unknown in that. There's a lot going on there. For me and Shanna.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I came into the church, and not everybody's journey is the same, normal, when you say that. Like, your process is your process. Your story is your story. I don't care if you're 20, if you're 30, if you're 50, if you're 65, if you're widowed, if you've never been loved, if you've fallen in love too many times, if you've been rejected, wherever you are in your process, you are where you are. There's no shame. Because no matter what, you aren't alone. That's the lie that I think a lot of people believe is like, oh, I'm always going to be by myself. Well, no, that's not the truth, because Jesus says he'll never leave you. No matter where you are, no matter what you're going through. But everybody's story is different, right? Everybody's unique. I know for me and Shanna, I personally, God knew that I needed somebody. So I think in a lot of ways, like, he trusts some people who stay single longer more than he trusted me. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, he's like, this kid's a mess. And I need someone to, like, I need someone who can, like, help lead.
Upgrade that.
Lead him to the promised land. Because if without that, like, I don't know that I would have made it.
Wow.
On my own single, I'll be honest with you. Like, I was Mowgli in the forest, Mowgli in the jungle, and I would have never came back to the man village. You know, I don't know that I would have ever done it. Do you remember the story?
Yeah.
Do you remember that movie?
Yeah.
Jungle Book.
The Jungle Book. Yeah. Remember? He's out playing with the animals, almost dying by the snake.
Follows the girl to the wall.
Yeah, and then he follows the girl that takes him back to the man village.
Wow.
I didn't understand how to be a dad. I didn't understand how to be a husband. I didn't understand how to be a boyfriend, really. Like, it was all me. It was all self-centered. Until I saw Shanna.
The girl. It's like Holy Spirit.
Yeah, until I saw Shanna, and all of a sudden, my love for her and my attraction to her, my desire for her, was stronger than my desire to do my own thing.
Dang.
And something shifted in me where I thought, I'm going to actually sacrifice my own selfishness, my own ambitions, my own self-made religion and my routines and all this stuff. I'm going to sacrifice it all because I love you and I want to be with you. Right? Some people, I mean, you can do it without that. You could say, I'm going to sacrifice all this. I'm going to become someone that's, you know, in love with someone before I even meet them. Mm. You know, I'm going to be prepared for the person I meet. Like, there's a lot of ways to tackle this. So let's break into it. You two are single. Let's talk about that. Why? I think this is crazy. You're two of the most beautiful young girls, smartest, most talented, most gifted young ladies that I know. And why are you single? What's wrong with Christian guys?
Oh. Being nice here, okay? I don't know.
Like, is it irreparable?
This is where it's messy because I have no answers. I just know, like, my standards are high.
Is it their fault? Is it their fault or is it your fault?
I don't think it's a...
Is there a fault or is it just a thing?
I mean, I don't think I'm single because Christian guys suck. That's not the answer.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think it's anyone's fault. I think so much of it, like, for me personally, probably has more to do with God's timing than...
They gave me permission to really cry on them, so I'm going to get into it. So.
However, I will say... The dating pool is a little sparse. It's definitely, it's especially as a believer, it's like, it's hard. It's rough out there.
It's rough out there.
When you say it's rough out there, tell me. I don't know.
Which part? So
what parts are dating apps? Because in my assessment of the situation, like, there's never been a larger pool with more fish because you now can go online. And you can even filter them, like, with the eye test. There's no more blind dates and all that kind of stuff. So you
know all
there's
that.
Advantages to the
The dating, we've both done dating apps, and at first, back in the, like, when they first started, it was, like, taboo for a Christian to kind of, felt like, to be on a dating app, and then it was like, no,
because
it's actually safe.
God is supposed to drop your
there was
spouse
that.
From heaven.
Drop them in front of you, your Boaz or whatever, like, I don't care about a Boaz, okay, but, like,
you're not sitting at a man's feet waiting for him to wake up.
definitely not. But also it was like, if you want a dating app, someone's gonna take you. Someone's gonna like all these horrible things they put in your head. You can't go on a dating app because they're gonna what's that word where they pretend they're someone they're not?
Catfishing.
And it's like, I've gotten awesome dates. But I just felt in my gut, like, no. Mm. Awesome dates. And some that, like, you're a great guy, but we're not going in the same
direction. Yeah.
Like, you care to go work at Disney and do voiceover acting, and I'm like, I don't care about Burbank, thank you. Or, you know, like, just random things. I'm like, you're a great human, but I am doing this, and you're not. Like, that's what I found. Also... On dating apps, I don't like we were talking about, like, the roboticness of just, like, swiping, and it's like, I was talking to Mika about it, and, it's
Mika
just,
is someone
Mika,
in our church for
people my
who
bad,
don't
yes.
know, yes,
me, because there's lots of, yeah, yes, Mika is from our church, she's
we have
awesome,
to assume
she's
that
also
more than
single,
50 people
I know,
podcast,
you're good,
you know,
I might need to do So
open your mind.
Yeah,
there's
that's
more
exactly.
Fish in the sea, okay.
Okay. Right, I've been on that one too.
There you go.
Plenty of fish.
I love how nervous you guys are, by the way.
Yeah, now
this
I'm nervous.
This is so fun for me.
My hands are sweating. Knees. So I was talking to Mika. I'm sorry. Guys,
Mika, our spiritual mother
Mika.
To all of us.
How many times can I say Mika? Hi, Mika. We were talking about, it's so mechanical, you start swiping and it gets, first of all, boring. Second of all, you can say whatever you want to make yourself look a certain way on a dating app. And when you meet someone in person, you know, you see them, you've known them, you know how they are. On a dating app, it's just so
personality,
mechanical.
Personality doesn't really come through. On
no.
Apps.
Or it's super kind of strong and you're like, no, that's not going to work. And it's just like, you just swipe like... like Instagram. It's just not a connection. It just feels like...
It's superficial too. Yeah. It's very like based on physicalities, I think, mm-hmm. because you're judging like whether exactly. you're going to swipe left or right based off of a picture yeah. of a person. You can't see like their personality.
Do you think it puts too much pressure on it because you're coming for that and you're not coming just like as friends to chill and like you start slower? You think
yes, maybe it, absolutely.
Do you think maybe it's almost like the people, by the time you get to a dating app, you have so much pinned up singleness in you that you're like eager to get it done.
So much singleness.
So you make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of like, people have expectations. Like if you see someone and you're like, oh, you're cute, and you like maybe have similar values, then you just kind of assume like, oh, your mind instantly goes to like, oh, this person could be it. And then you're already putting that pressure on like meeting that
That's
person.
That's what I'm saying. It's a little yeah. too intense.
Yeah,
too
exactly.
But I do appreciate everyone there is trying to date. So you know it.
So you know where they stand. That's a good point.
I love
that. That's a good point. So you've left the friend zone if you're on the site.
Yes, I love that. Because the friends, you're like, I don't know.
And I want to talk about the friend zone a little bit. But go for it.
I think for me personally, I'm the type of person where, like, I can't just jump straight into things. I need to ease in, like, dip my toes in the water, get to know someone a little bit. Like, I don't, like, developing feelings for me isn't usually, like, in an instant. And so I think, like, things on dating apps. I mean, honestly, I've only gone on, like, 2 dates, and both of them were not good.
So but, they were strikeouts?
Yeah, yeah.
Why? Tell us about each of them.
Okay, so the first one, he was...
Just very, very briefly.
It was that same scenario that I was just telling you about, where it's like, okay, like, on the app, it seems great, and then in person, chemistry wasn't there. He was a nice guy, he was a believer. I like, set my Hinge status to only be believers, yeah. or other people who say that they're Christian. And it was, like, in Ventura, there was, like, nothing. Like, there was, like, 5 guys. And so, anyways, I ended up taking that off because I was like, you know what, whatever. I'm just trying to, like, go on a date and just, like, get some practice. And I wasn't sure. I was like, maybe some people don't, like, have it in their profile, whatever. And so the second guy that I went on a date with, I think the fact that I was a believer actually scared him because I was very, like, open about that. And this guy actually, he was a surgeon. And he had, like, kind of, like, a narcissistic
vibe.
That
was a good one.
And we sat down for, like, 2 hours, and the guy would not stop talking about himself.
Oh, he made the mistakes.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm telling you, you're just fumbling.
It was the worst experience of my life. I wanted to cry the last 30 minutes of the day. I was like, get me out of here.
Yeah, did he pay?
No, we split. I was like, you can't even... That's buy me dinner for listening to your TED Talk.
That's so funny. Oh my God. Is that a thing? So, in today's world.
Yeah.
I mean, some girls don't want you to pay. They want to, like, take care of themselves. Like, is that a thing? Like, maybe.
You're pointing at me?
I don't know. Like, you kind of do have a little bit of that. I'll be honest. Like,
I always come prepared to pay if, like, I always want to make sure if I'm going on a date that I have the money and I can pay if they, I don't want to assume, but I love someone.
So how does a guy know? Like, these guys, these poor men are, like, trying to figure out what to do with you guys.
I take it. I'm like, if you want to pay, like, I'm nice about it, but I don't assume that they're going to.
Yeah, I will always, every single time, offer to split or offer to pay, but for me, if a guy, especially on the first date, it's one thing if you're in a relationship and you've been seeing someone for a while and then it's like things kind of even out a little bit if you're like going out all the time. However, if it's like first date and the guy wants to split, that is a huge red flag for me because that to me shows how much effort he's putting in like pursuing me.
Is that a red flag for you?
I'm looking more at other things as red flags, but that is, I'm like, Alright.
So to me, it shows a lack of interest, honestly.
And I'm like, okay, do you not have the money? Like, what? Did you? Yeah. Mm. But I haven't had that problem. They've always paid.
So,
One guy, he's dating someone now. I don't even know if he sees this, but he asked me out. We went out, and then after we had dessert, we went to Lure and had dessert, and then he was like, yeah, I just really love Bumble because I get to eat really well. And I was like, he's like, that's basically why I'm here. Like, I just love to eat really well, take people out and eat really well. And I was like, okay. Like, great. So we're just having a snack together. Cool. And then he started dating someone like 2 weeks later. So I'm like, okay, you got more than
that. And it wasn't you.
Yeah. Very happy about that.
You're very happy about that. Wow.
But
I'm going to be honest with you. As a guy. So I realize a lot of these guys, they're like, I don't want to say something on air. They're
say
just,
it.
Well,
it's
they're
authentic
just,
faith.
Say, they might be like D-bag guys. Sorry.
Oh.
Like, they're just like not, it's not the one, right? But I will say, like, you're the most complex creature on the planet.
Why, who, me?
Yes, women.
Oh.
There's no way that any guy can be prepared for all this within you, because it's like telling them to hit a target and they don't even know where the bullseye is.
It's not that difficult.
Yes, it is. No, it's difficult. I'm going to speak as a guy. It's very, very difficult.
Well,
and this is where guys make the mistake. If you don't get a guy who really knows Jesus...
Yeah.
Because that's the target.
Yeah.
Like, because for you two as believers, like, this dude has to be in love with Jesus. And so if he's not going after that target and he's going after this target, he's going to miss because you don't even tell people what the target is. Does that make sense?
I feel like we talked about that before on here. That's good.
Yeah.
I feel like that's my biggest red flag throughout. Like, I could date, go on a few more dates, and there's not very many red flags, but if they don't love Jesus and they are not, like, living their life passionately, to me, I'm like, I don't have enough time anymore for that.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much going on in the world. I want to run with someone that's passionate and excited for life.
Yeah.
And maybe they struggle with things, but, like, that they love him and they're...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all. That's,
like,
the main thing.
And I feel like out of all the guys that I have dated, the ones that have... like, been believers and have had their, like, target on Jesus are the ones that have pursued me, like, the most intentionally.
Mm.
And the ones that don't, it's like, what is happening? We're just, like, fumbling around in the dark.
It feels weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not right. And, like I've said before, is that if a bird falls in love with a fish, where are they going to live, right? Like, you have a different nature. So as a believer, the reason why it feels weird, which... At some point, you may just give up the dating app altogether.
Totally,
I don't know.
Already.
I'm not saying you should or shouldn't.
People
I'm just saying
don't do it.
This is an option for you to maybe close that door, just because at some point you say, you know what? If the Holy Spirit tells me to go on a dating app, I'm going to go on a dating app.
For
I'm not
sure.
Afraid of that. But if he doesn't, I'm going to trust him. And I'm going to trust him to do it, because I can't. I mean, it's so complex. There's so many layers to this whole thing. You can't make it happen.
Yeah. I've heard lots of successes from them, and so I'm like, let me try. Okay, no,
so
exhausting.
I'm gonna tell you, Nick Vlahos.
Yes, there's a bunch of
this
people.
Is my success story. For those of you who don't know, Nick Vlahos
and Priscilla and Matt.
Yeah, Priscilla and Matt. There's a few people
and
in our ministry that are success stories that are almost. It's like these are testimonies to give you faith of what could happen. Nick, the reason why I bring him up is, I mean, he was like 34 years old, and I'm telling you. We were brutal on him. I mean, he had some girlfriends along the way, and, you know, we've all gotten married and moving on without him. And he would always say, like, hey, man, my standards are here. And we'd say, yeah, but on paper, you look really good. You know, like, on paper, you're a psychologist. You've got all this. But I'm not sure, like, you're going to have, like, the ability to pull that level of chick out of the sea. You know, like, I don't know if you're going to have that kind of charisma to do that.
Up.
Like, you know, yeah, that is messed up. But listen, this is not a secret. He's a friend of ours.
I know,
And we talk about this.
Oh, we talk about it.
But then here's the story. Nick never compromised. He never compromised.
Mm.
And we gave him such a hard time year after year. And I remember I would tell him, I'm like, you've got champagne taste on a beer budget.
Oh my gosh.
Like, you're struggling. Like, you've got to just maybe lower the standard. He goes, I'm not going to do it. And then one day, he comes to me and goes, I had a date last night. And I was like, really? He goes, I think she could be the one. Like, it was that clear from the beginning. I go, really? And then, like, after a few weeks, he goes, I'm either getting married to this girl or I'm going to be heartbroken. I've never felt this way.
Wow.
And, like, she pulled him in so fast. And it may not have been after the first date. Maybe it was after a couple. I don't remember the timeline exactly.
It
was,
right?
Yeah.
You're so sweet.
I had never met her. And so I'm thinking, okay, let's see who this is, right? And anyways, I meet her. Nick introduces me to Julia, his now wife, who is the most beautiful, awesome, amazing woman ever. And Nick did not lower his standards. And I mean, 10 out of 10 with this girl.
Amen.
And God did drop her in his lap. And I don't understand how it happened, even to this day. Like, there's no one who, like, she loves Nick. I mean, not just like a little bit. Like, she's in love, infatuated with Nick. And Nick is in love with her. They have the cutest little family. They're amazing. And I'm like, how did this happen? I didn't think there was any hope for him.
Yeah.
That's so good.
I'll be honest. I didn't know that there was hope.
Oh, my gosh.
Like,
that's so good.
He has so many swings and misses. And
that's the thing, you gotta try. That's the problem. That's something we learned, I think, in the culture that I grew up in, is like, the woman is not supposed to pursue the man. And so, in dating.
That's huge.
And
that's
huge, but it's crazy. Right, yes. Well, I'm gonna challenge that, because the woman then is just sitting around. There's a balance. There's for sure a balance. But I know people that have not even, like, made it clear that they're interested in the guy that they're interested in. And then there's no knowledge. The guy has no idea.
Okay, but I will say, I think that giving a dog a bone is different than pursuing a guy.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, you can let a guy...
Whoa, that was like...
They call it drop the hanky. Like... Also.
You can show interest.
You two are really... important to me. Don't be dropping the hanky for anybody.
No, you're not.
Engine sound.
No, I'm saying the same thing.
I had to do that because it sounded really
like
bad. Sorry.
We're told you can't pursue him. So instead, we freeze and don't do anything. But instead, we are allowed to say, like,
well, number one,
we get him.
That's
just the Christian
culture.
Told you that? The Christian culture growing up.
Christian culture. Yeah. I've never said that. Well, actually, so here's what I'll say.
I'm saying this was me when I'm like a teenager.
You do teach your young girls, like for young, they're, my daughter's in middle school. And we see young girls who throw themselves at boys. This always creates relational dysfunction early in the years because they're trying to fill that void all the time.
Yeah.
However, you're right. There's a balance there because you're like...
That's not typical in the Christian church. It wasn't when I was growing up. We were, like, frozen. Like, he has to pursue me. And I have friends that are, like, I couldn't even look at a boy growing up because I was, like, I don't.
Well, that's legalism.
I know. I'm saying that.
Yeah.
That's what I grew up in. That's what I'm saying.
What kind
I don't
of church
think
is
that's.
That?
I know.
Drop their name right now. Just
shut up. No way. That's what I'm saying, though. That's the problem. I'm saying it's legalism. It's like this religion we grew up in that said you can't. This is what I grew up in. I'm speaking from my own life. That's why I've been like going through a process of like stripping it off and like, no, I can tell somebody I'm interested. But then they can pursue me, obviously.
So,
and if
so
they're
I remember,
interested,
you're right.
They will pursue you.
You're right. I remember Shanna in the dating phase. I didn't know right at first if she liked me or liked our friends. I couldn't tell who she was interested in.
Yeah.
And until one night, we were at a party. We were somewhere. I don't remember. Me and our group of friends were out, and Shanna wasn't going. And somehow we were splitting ways. And I, after the party, I called her. And I said, hey, what are you doing? You know, we opened a conversation. I don't remember what it was. But I said, I don't know what you're doing or whatever. She goes, well, I want to see you. And that was like,
see that. Something
that was
like
that. Just that little, what yeah. I thought, oh, she wants to see me for sure. Because I wanted to see her. There was no doubt in my mind. I wanted to see her. But it was when she said, I wanted to see you.
Gotta do something.
Yeah. That right there, like what you're saying is, it takes it from that like, oh, I'm one of the girls, one of the guys, to, no, I wanted to see you.
Exactly. I think it's
that's the
one thing to give hints, like obviously like show interest. Don't be like stone cold. But for me personally, I think it's important to be pursued as a woman because if a guy isn't pursuing you intentionally and you just give yourself away too fast, you don't know that guy's character. You don't know if he's going to like continue pursuing you in a relationship.
And
I think
way
that's
you
like
start
setting
a relationship,
the stage. Exactly.
Yes,
setting the stage. The way he pursues you in the beginning is setting the stage for like the relationship.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. 100%. That's so good. I totally feel that. I have the problem of like not moving. Like, I feel like I freeze and I'm just like, I don't know how to let someone in. That's been a journey of the dating process of like allowing intimacy, like with someone that you trust when you're dating them, like more than just a few dates, like you're in a relationship with somebody. I have a problem, not a problem, no, I'm not gonna say that over myself, but I'm overcoming the fear of intimacy.
Yeah.
and letting someone see me and being vulnerable. I have a hard time with that. So,
I mean, I have that same problem, but for me, it's not because I grew up with that, like, rigid, like, structure in my past. It's more because in the past, I gave myself away too quickly, and I was hurt, and now I feel like I have, like, walls around my heart, and so it's, like, learning how to, like, find the balance between being vulnerable, but also, like, guarding my heart.
That's so good. That's different sides of it. Yeah. So, like, everyone has, like you were saying, different...
That's the clip for social media. That's the clip for
Clever Agent. That's good. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
That it's... In
it's hard.
It's very hard. And I think we get caught up thinking about what we're thinking about. And we just get trapped in our own mind. And we get... And that makes us feel like we're trapped in our own circumstances, which makes us feel like we have to do something to get out of it, which puts us in bad positions with people that we may not be able to fully go there with. And so I think part of it is controlling your thought life and that vulnerability side and just saying, you know, I'm going to be tender. I'm going to be open. I'm going to actually love people well, and I'm not going to get caught up in guarding myself at all, period. I'm not going to give myself. There's a difference. Like, you can guard yourself without giving yourself. I'm not going to guard the love that's moving through my heart. Like, I'm not going to give my heart to somebody to use and abuse and throw away. My heart belongs to Jesus. If he wants it, he's got to go get it in heaven. Like, that's the only place to get
so
it.
So good, That's good.
That's essentially where it was. I remember Shanna, I brought her around my friends for the first time, and we had, like, our group, it was like a motley crew of dudes, and we were going to church, loved Jesus with all our heart, but what's funny was the church crew that Shannon was surrounded by told her not to date me because I was bad news, because we were still playing bars as a band, and I was getting high a year ago and all this stuff, like, I was still cleaning my life up.
That Brad guy.
Yeah, that's literally what happened, and Shannon somehow, she saw something in me, but it, all the red flags were against me, but she saw something. I don't know what it was. And you don't have to get caught up in that. Sometimes you don't have to, it doesn't have to work out in your head. You know what I mean? And then you just move in love. And it is very hard because you get caught up in, like, the checklists. I know a lot of people who do that checklist. Have you heard that?
Yeah,
it's like,
totally.
Here's my 5-item checklist of what my husband's going to be. And I'm sure you have
perfect.
Those. I'm sure you have those items. We all have those.
Mine's like 28.
Yeah.
Whoa, girl. You know the exact number, 28.
Yeah, you know what I had? I had none of that. All I knew was I would know.
Yeah, I feel that.
I would know when I found the person. I'd know.
Yeah.
That
but
was
you
got
to be willing to kind of, like, you know kind of what you want, but it's also good to be able to, like, scratch that and if something...
You know what,
like,
I saw? I take that back. You know what I saw was I saw myself holding hands with somebody walking in church. That's what I saw. In my mind, when I visualized who I would marry, I saw myself holding hands with somebody walking into church together. To me, that was the foundation for the whole thing.
That's really good.
That was it. So I needed somebody I could walk to church with. It's complex. It's hard. What I'm trying to say is maybe there's a place in your pursuit or in your maybe pursuit of Jesus and then your openness to other things. Maybe there's a place where, you know, it's not so rigid. And maybe there's a place of where you can operate more in love.
Yeah.
And stay open.
I think there's such a balance between, like I said, like, knowing what you want and, like, believing that, you know, God is big enough and kind of, like, standing on what you're praying for and not compromising on those, like, really important things. But also knowing, like, maybe what God has for you is so much different than, like, what you even envision for yourself. And just trusting that, like, when that happens, he'll give you the clear, like, yes.
Yeah. Before we're finished, I want to talk about the friend zone. How do guys get trapped in it? How do guys get out of it? I'll speak from my own experience to launch the discussion. This is a tricky one.
I have no answers for this.
This is a tricky one, but you're going to have to speak on it. So with Shanna, I didn't know how to transition from like, okay, yeah, she's into me and I'm into her, but now we're going to make it official and we're coming out of the friend zone together. That was a tough, tough transition for me. I'll give you our story. I invited her to go to a park and I said, hey, let's just go to a park and hang out. And so we went to this park and hung out. We put out a blanket and we just chilled like by this creek, right? And we're sitting there and I said, so I'm gonna mess this up. It's literally what I told her. I said, I'm gonna mess this up. But so do you wanna like officially be my lady? That's what I said, like, you wanna be my lady? And she said, yes. I said, okay, I don't know the rules. Like, I don't know what we're allowed to do. Like, I've never dated a Christian girl. Are we allowed to kiss? Are we not? Like, what are the boundaries? I don't know the rules. Mm-hmm. And she said, I don't remember what she said. I think she kissed me. Like, it was good. It was the most beautiful moment. It was like a storybook moment. But in that, like, breaking out of that friend zone was awkward and it's hard. It's like, here I am. Like, I'm out of it. Okay, so I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm going to be there. How do guys get out of it? It's hard because guys, especially Christian guys who come from the world, who have probably been exposed to all this other information about what relationships should look like, what intimacy should look like, what covenant should look like, what love should look like, all this baggage, right? Like, how do we break out of friend zones? And speak to the guys right now. Speak to the guys that are either in life in prison in the friend zone, like, and like how to move on from that.
Yeah.
Because maybe you're on the friend zone death row if you stay locked up in that one relationship. But maybe it's someone else who can unlock you and set you free.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I feel like there's, but here's the thing. You and Shanna both knew that you liked each other.
Yes.
That is something different. That's one thing. Because I've had that. Well, not really. Okay. But you knowing that you like each other and you're friends and you're trying to move to dating is like exciting and cute. And like, oh my gosh, how do we do this? It's like, you know you like each other. It's scary, but fun. Then there's the other side where you don't like him and he's trying, you know, like that's different when they're in the friend zone and it's like awkward and trying to figure out, does she like me? Does he like me?
Or maybe they don't know what they feel.
Right.
Or
so that's a little different. Like, but if you know, that's like kind of fun. That's like different.
That's fun.
To me.
Then you break out of it easier.
That's okay, scary so still.
So here's my thing. It's like with guys that I talk to, single guys, you know when a chick is into you.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not a mystery. You'll know if she's into you. Hopefully she's not pursuing you, like giving herself away at a discount price to get you. But also maybe she's saying at least like, hey, there's interest here.
You can feel when something is mutual.
Yeah.
Like, can you guys go an hour without talking? Like, are you constantly thinking about each other? I feel like you can sense when someone feels that way about you.
And I remember Shanna, after we went bowling one of the first nights, like the first like couple months we were talking, she sent me a morning text, like, after that night, saying, good morning, hope you have a great day, praying
over
you, whatever.
You,
like,
sure.
That's when you know.
If she's sending you good morning text, she is into you.
But is that really that big
of
a deal?
For sure.
See,
here's the thing. I'm friendly with everybody.
Actually,
I feel like I'm very friendly with a lot of people, and that can get confusing.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out, okay, how do I be less friendly to everybody?
That's a good
guys,
point.
And more intentional.
See, it's complicated. It's not that
it
easy.
It is. And
I got that. I was stoked about the text.
Yeah.
But I didn't quite understand that meant, like, because we had a really fun group. Like, our group of friends was really fun. And I thought, oh, okay, maybe she's just like, hey, I had fun hanging with you guys.
No,
like, that was awesome.
So recently, I had a guy who's my friend, Blake. I'm saying his name. We both are super open about this, but we were like friends, super close friends, love hanging out. And then at one point it like shifted and he like, I started avoiding him cause I could feel that it shifted. And then we were hung out and it was kind of like, he mentioned like, is there something here? If there's not, it's okay. But is there something here? Kind of feel like there might be. And I was like, I feel what you're feeling, but like, no, I don't want to.
Well, so that's so interesting.
But then
you felt it.
I could feel the shift.
But you denied your feelings.
No. I could feel that we were, like, hanging out, we connected in a way, but I didn't feel like it was like, I want to date you. So I was like, okay, I need to make sure that I'm not...
So the feeling, though, was the feeling more than friends?
No, it felt like I liked being your friend. Mm-hmm. But then, this is where it got weird. Like, this is probably so annoying, and John would hate this. I told John about this because...
Who is John?
John Will.
Anyone
I'm sorry.
Anyone outside of our 50
I'm
people,
so
they don't
sorry.
Know.
John Will. He's the youth pastor.
Yes.
He hates this, but I...
The youth pastor where?
You know, somewhere.
Church, yeah,
He's like, this is going out to millions. Okay, so...
It's just good practice.
Okay? Yeah, I know. Yeah. This is good. I need to practice it. So then we kept hanging out slow, like a little bit once in a while. Like, I was like, okay, we can't hang out too much because then... I don't want to mix feelings. Or confused our thoughts. So we hung out little bits, and then something happened, and I was like, am I interested in him? And I told him, honestly, like, maybe I am, I don't know. And, like, then quickly I was like, no. Yeah. No, I'm not. But I felt like I was wishy-washy, and I wasn't trying to be, but my question to him...
Will you help us with that? Because
so,
guys do not understand
I know.
That. Guys are black and white.
That's why I was talking to John about it, and he's like, I can't stand that because you're... Like, it feels like you're leading someone on.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
But
hot
I
take.
Yeah. I don't think...
Hot take. So she said hot take. Go.
I don't think guys and girls can have close, intimate friendships without it getting messy. And
yes.
I think part of the reason is because when you're spending a lot of time with someone and you're getting close, maybe you're not crossing physical boundaries, but you're crossing emotional and spiritual boundaries.
Whoa.
If you guys are... actually, like, you know, spending a lot of time together, and it just gets messy, because then it's
exactly.
like, it does, like, murk
messes
the waters
with your mind.
A little bit.
And we're so emotional that that's nice for
and it's,
women.
And it's different to feel, like, maybe you feel emotionally connected to this person, maybe you bonded, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have romantic
exactly. Discernment. And so, the question that I asked was, like, do you love Jesus? Are you pursuing him? And he was like... I know God, like, and so that right away I was like, okay, that's not for me. No, we can be friends. And then now I've limited, like, spending time, but still friendship. Like,
you know, so if you look at,
so definitely.
If you look at, like, Bible wisdom, part of the Jewish tradition was that a man would go and ask a father's permission to marry his daughter, right? And then that man would go and prepare a place. And then when he was done preparing a place, you go read John 14. That's what it is. It's the bridegroom.
That's good.
This whole thing. Then he would go to get his bride and take her to where he was, right? You're onto something.
Yeah, that hot take.
That hot take. And I'm going to go with it as much as, I mean, I could get negative feedback on this one, but it is what it is. Because it really, like, it's an ancient mindset almost. But we will go live with anybody. We'll go to lunch with anybody. You know, we don't, you know, I just actually spoke against guarding your heart. But yeah, maybe there is more to that. Maybe we need to look back into that and not dismiss the guarding your heart thing so quickly. Because what I'm saying is this, like, in Jewish civilization, you live with your parents until a man would pursue you, take you, you know, like, parts of that, like, you're not property, so we understand that. Like, you're not a possession, you know, but you are a prize. You know, you have to be won. You know, a girl
there's
has...
There's some good things to
pull
from
there's some
that,
things to pull
but
from
really
that.
Also not.
Yeah, what I'm saying, like, you don't have to... Like, I did ask Shanna's dad permission to marry Shanna. But every circumstance doesn't have
right.
to be like that. You know, I'm not saying it has to be that way, but what I'm saying is, like, maybe because... We have this, like, extended adolescent period, but yet we've moved into maturity and relationships way before we're ready for it. Like, mm-hmm. moving out at 18, cohabitating mm-hmm. with people. Like, we're out and just you talk for hours and hours and hours and hours. Like, there's this disconnect from the family structure where now you're out and you don't know how to fully process your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're out and things you would be feeling for a husband or a wife, you're now... Not sure. I see it in marriage counseling all the time. When you get away from the home and you get out on the waters of the world, mixed feelings come, misunderstandings come, innuendo comes. If you aren't disciplined to keep yourself grounded in your foundation, do you see what I'm trying to say?
Totally.
Like, there's something
it's
in this.
It's hard,
like,
because it's like, it's one thing to try and explore things with a person. You're trying to see what's there. but also, like, you can easily go too far and then either wind up with the wrong person because you did open your heart up too much and you did, like, break down these walls and bond over these, mm-hmm. like, emotional connections. But, I don't know.
But how do you, but, and that's what I'm saying. So, understanding that going too deep with the wrong people will cause you to have mixed signals and mixed feelings. Yeah.
I feel like just look out, like, use discernment, go slow, like, ask good questions and not, like, a quiz, like, do you check off everything, but, like, ask the hard questions. That's what my mom taught me, like, which is why I'm still single. Mm. No, but, do you, like, ask the hard questions right away, and it's not to make their, like, they don't have to be perfect, but it's, like, is this right? Like, asking Holy Spirit, and really, you could go so quickly through in a relationship without listening to him, or you could go through and be like, what, take him in the process.
But in that same, like, I also feel like don't lay all your cards out on the table day one.
Oh, definitely not.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't need to be like telling someone
your
testimony at the first date.
And I hear Shanna's voice in this conversation, my wife. I hear her right here saying, like, it doesn't have to be this complex because when you know, when you know,
exactly. Yeah,
right?
Listen to your gut.
So when you know, you know.
Yeah.
And some relationships are born through time. Like, I know people who have dated for years and years and years, and it's just you get to a place where you go, I couldn't imagine my life without you.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a really good way to begin because you've already got a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you love being with each other. Some are just born with, like, ooh, when I saw you, I knew that that was my wife, or I knew that was my husband, or whatever. I think either way, though, like, you'll know.
Yeah.
Like, you'll be settled in it.
Well,
you'll be
resting in it. Well, all this can be thrown out the window when it is, like, from God, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
But...
and you'll rest in it. You'll go, okay, well, I'm not going to strive after anyone else. I'm here with you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my person.
Definitely.
You know?
Yeah. It's a dance.
And that's what I heard her say the other day. Shanna said, like, when I found Brad, I found my person. And, you know, I would rather her say, when I found Brad, I found the best looking dude, the strongest man I knew. Like, all this. She was like, no, I found my person. She's like, he's got problems, but he's my person.
That's good.
You know?
That's also the issue to me with the dating app is, like, what was it? Like, it's just, there's not the connection. It's like you're right away, tell me your whole story.
And there's no context.
It's like, tell me everything. Okay, nope. Tell me everything. Nope. Nope. You just keep nope.
Yeah.
Or yeah.
See, I see
yeah,
it. And we're going to have to finish.
Yeah,
but
part two.
There will be part two. Trust me on that.
Because then it goes into identity and, like, right in your family.
There's a lot to say. I think this is the beginning of
yeah.
the young ladies podcast. Like,
we're
setting the stage for it. But I personally, like, my advice to young guys, like, even, you know, John, Will, our youth pastor, my advice to him was, you guys have it so easy right now because the way I think like a CEO, oh, you have it so easy because I'd be doing speed dates, like 20-minute startup rotation dates. I'd be like, next. Like, I would just be like shifting them through and I'm like, no chemistry. Because really, chemistry is where you start. Like, if I can't, like, see myself hanging with you on a random Tuesday, like, next,
but how
next,
do you know
next.
In the context of that? How do I know? Like, I have to picture you with me.
I can sit down. I can figure out chemistry in 5 minutes. Maybe not, like 5 to 10 minutes. Give me, I'll
except
figure out.
Except for the fact that when you're on a date with someone, people
attraction, chemistry, it's all
on
together. Like, it's all there. Like,
yeah,
there,
people have different in 5 minutes, someone's going to
look
like.
People put on
their
date
like,
mask.
Yeah.
And,
like, and then you're married to some weirdo. Then you're married to someone with a dating mask.
That's so real.
Is there a date mask?
Yeah.
That's over here.
Then you're married to someone that later you find out is like, boom, you know, boom.
That's why you need context. That's my point.
Got context.
Yeah, I'm like,
no.
speed date.
That's
just
a swiping,
like,
for you.
Well, it is,
that's,
but I also think, like I said, like a businessman, they think, look, if you go through 200, you're bound to find one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so.
Right? Like,
yeah.
All right, well, yeah, dating. There you go.
We got into
it. This was a very, very fun experience. I will say, like, you two are two of the most amazing women that I know. I'm proud of you,
thanks,
the way you handle it, the way you process things. You're both unique in the way you do it.
I feel like we talk about it all the time.
You do talk about it all the time. I'll say that you're both also a part of the most confusing species on earth, and so for guys, have
to. So compliment.
So have some grace. Have some grace. Guys are always trying to meet the expectations, and when they're unspoken, we mess up, you know. And so just have some grace on the dudes, and for those of you out there,
boys, step up, man.
Yeah, guys, step up. Those of you who are out there who are single or dating, or even those of you who aren't, who are just sitting back like married people going, ha ha, remember the days? You know, like, listen.
Yeah.
Let's just relax. Let's relax. Let's chill. Let's have some fun. Yeah. Let's just do some fun things and let God win this battle for you, right?
Yeah.
The battle of relationship is won on the cross.
That's so good. The other topic I would say we need to talk about is, like, dealing with rejection well. And it's okay if it doesn't work out. Let's go on, you know?
That goes so much into identity.
Yes.
Okay, let's think about this. We'll think about it. We got another week to think about this. We are going to... I want just a piece of informational advertising for our podcast. This will be a season.
Yes.
So we're going to end the season somewhere near the end of June.
Mm-hmm.
We will take a short break. And then we will come back again after summer's over. We're going to go get our summer...
Get lit out there.
Chill on, whatever that is. We're going to go chill out for the summer. And then we'll come back and re-engage because we're having so much fun on this podcast. It's a great new conversation for our ministry. And it's raw and it's authentic and we're loving it. And if you have any topics you'd like to hear...
Ooh, yeah.
Message us.
Yeah.
Email us. Them. Talk to us. Text us. If you have Mariah's number, my number, Clover's number, text us.
Mm-hmm. The Authentic Faith Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stay connected. This thing is a moving target, you know, just like the ladies in this room.
I don't know what to say about that one.
God bless you guys. We'll see you soon.
Bye. Oh, a moving target. Sure.
I'm done.
Oh,
that was actually fun. I think that people will love that.
I think so.